This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's time to chat some bollocks about fanny tits and bum.
No topic is off limit for these potty mouth foul mums.
So tell us all your secrets, we like to share the truth.
About saggy tits and anal warts and ice cubes up your hoof.
No holes barred.
Hello!
Hello. Can we start off this episode by saying, you do the audio editing and I do the video editing.
Right.
And if there is one thing that I can pick up is that every single week you are always in something very new, different and beautiful.
Oh,
I am
clothing.
In one of three tops. It's like I have no other clothes. You are looking very pretty.
You get something that you like and you do wear it a lot, don't you? It's very good.
I'm very fixated. When I'm on something, I'm on something.
That might have something to do with the fact that you got ADHD.
But you do look very pretty today. You look like Miss Funny from Matilda.
I know. This cardigan is giving that vibe, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's very cute. It's like a little...
Even the trousers and the little brown belt.
It's a little Nana cardigan, isn't it? I'd say.
Well, no, I wouldn't say so.
It's got little flowers on it.
You look put together for someone who is mumming alone.
Oh, my God. Yeah, fucking hell. Can we have a minute to just... Praise Jesus. Yeah, well, I don't know what's happening. It's been a ride and a half, let's put it that way. Jesus. So what am I on? It's day three. It's day three. Rob left Monday morning. He did the school run, which I was very thankful for, before he went to work. And then he's gone off on this conference. It's not like he's gone anywhere to have fun, but still, come on, going away for three fucking nights and staying in the hotel on your own.
Piss tape.
Ah, what a selfish prick. So yeah, it's just, how do I put this? It's Edith, okay?
It's not parenting, it's Edith.
Oh my God, we all know about that girl. Like I said, what was I saying last week? Oh, I'm really enjoying this phase of parenting. I should never have said that out loud.
They'll always whip it from underneath your seat. Just when you think, I've got it, I've figured it out, I've mastered it. Never will.
We've done some reverting back to old behaviours, let's put it that way. She's just very particular, isn't she? And when she gets an idea in her head, then that's it. That's what's happening. And she cannot let go of it, which is me. So, you know, I've only got myself to blame.
You were like, oh, she just gets so fixated on stuff. Da, 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 da. And I was like, what's that like? What's that like? I wonder.
Oh, my God. So yeah, it's been tough because it's like the second I pick them up from school, she's just, she's like, the thing is, she walks towards me, towards the gate, and I can see it in her face and I'm like, fuck.
The devil's in you.
Yes. And she gives me this little sly little look. And I mean, she looks so hysterical because she's still such a dot. She's so tiny with her massive hair. She's grown her hair out, isn't she? So
yes.
The bob now looks like a wig because it's kind of, she's got quite a long fringe and then it's so straight, her hair. She hasn't inherited Oliver's got my hair. She's got a dad's hair, just pin straight, massive though. And she looks at me with her little side eye and a huge barnet. I'm like, the devil's in her eyes. The devil's in her eyes.
The devil's in her eyes.
I could see it. And then she starts kicking off as soon as we start walking home. What it always amazes me is that she can make a 4-minute walk home feel like an eternity of damnation.
I don't know if that's a second child thing, because Toby's got that down to fine fucking art as well. we went to the park yesterday. So we went over there with our friends. So their son and Toby played. And then it was Steve and I and the husband of sort of our friends. We're walking around for an hour and a half. We just walked around the loop. Yeah. Walk around the loop, walking the dogs, and we're happy because they're just fucked off.
Yeah, great.
Hour and a half.
Ideal,
not
love it.
Not one complaint.
Oh my
not
God,
one
that's fantastic.
Complaint,
yeah.
Of feet, of nothing, because these two kids fucking love each other. We then say, hey, let's just go. Should we go to the pub for dinner? Go out to the pub for dinner. We park outside the fucking restaurant, well, the pub, outside Victoria. I'm going to say 12 steps.
Yeah.
And we went, oh, my legs are tired. I can't use them. I need to be carried. It's like, look, you little cunt.
Mate.
You were quite happy running around the park for an hour and a half, fucking carefree. Take your 12 fucking steps and do them, because I'm about to buy you dinner, you ungrateful little
yeah, that's
brick.
It, isn't it?
With also your mate that you've just played with. Now shut the fuck up.
Did he walk it or did you carry him?
He fucking walked it.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
Wait, he's eight. He's
I
actually
know.
Eight and a half. He can yeah. kiss my ass. I'm not carrying him. Unless he's dying.
Yeah.
He can fuck off. Do you know what I mean? I'm over
yes.
it.
I know what you mean. That's
oh,
the sort of
God.
Thing that Edith would do and she wouldn't let it go. Do you know what I mean? It's like it'd end up just being a massive Barney between the two of us. But yeah, it's just double bedtime on your own, isn't it? It's just really
oh.
hard work. And I really do feel for any parent out there that has to do the majority of the bedtimes, whether you're a single parent or whether, and this is quite common, you have a partner who's away for like long periods of time and
yeah.
you are the sole sort of caregiver.
Well, I'm in a military
Jesus.
Family.
Yes,
sort of, I'm in a military town. It's
yeah.
really common. And like I've spoken to some of them are my mums, they're not. Some of them are my friends. And one in particular, I said, like, how do you do it? And she's like, you just kind of get into a rhythm. And then all of a sudden, you almost get pissed off when they come back because they kind of ruin everything. And I'm like,
I will not be pissed off.
I would literally, I wouldn't even be happy that he was home. I would drop them at his feet and be like, I'm out.
That's what I'm doing. So he gets back. But so I said, when are you home? When he originally told me about it, he's like, oh, I'm back on Thursday. So I was like, okay, cool, brilliant. So that's
God,
great. He was like, but I'm not
Vic.
Back till about 8 o'clock. Right, fantastic. So that means four bedtimes on my own.
Do you know what I would do? I would be doing a little mental tick list of, okay, that's four bedtimes that I can now push back on him.
I know. Oh, do you know what? He's, this is, yeah, I can't complain that much because I have had a couple of nights away.
Yeah.
But I just, it's the intensity of four consistent ones. I'd
Absolutely.
Rather they be broken up. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, Jesus Christ. But hopefully tonight, I keep saying tonight will be different. But let's see what happens. Last night she was complaining that her sheets were not cold enough. So yes, I cannot actually help you with that.
I don't even know if you were to go to the fanciest hotel on this planet and you need to call down to reception and say, my sheets aren't cold enough. I'm sure someone's done
even,
that.
She was going that mad that it went through my head of like, can I use the cool setting on the hairdryer to make these sheets colder? But then I thought, I'm absolutely not doing that because then she will get me to do it every single night.
She would, yeah.
Because that's what she's like.
That is a rod in her back.
Yeah, forget it. It's not happening. I'll just let you be upset about it. And then I said to you, in the end, it was not good vibes, okay, in the Eames household last night. There was some shouting. There was a lot of crying. And then eventually she agreed to got into bed. She was still crying. And then she stopped crying when we were reading the stories. And then halfway through the story, she said, oh, these sheets are cold, actually. It's just like,
so in those moments where you think, I don't know if I'm going to uppercut you or not. Like, I actually think I might do a wrestling move.
What makes me laugh is Oliver's reaction to it all. Because he can't handle any noise. Like he hates, he's so sensitive to noise. Like that's his big sensory overload is noise. So she's been really fucking noisy crying. He's like putting his hands over his ears like, I can't listen to the crying, Edith. I can't listen to it. You just can't. And then I'm like, okay, Oliver, if you can't listen to it, then you're just going to have to go into your bedroom. I'm scared. What, in your own bedroom in your house that is next door to this room where you can hear and still see me? Go into your own bedroom. Oh, my God. Between the pair of them. Just,
I
like to
I think it's Laura. To give,
eight
oh, God.
Books. They
Jesus.
Have four books each of a night,
Jesus,
of an
Jesus,
evening.
Jesus.
Oliver will often have like a longer, more, you know, like adult, well, not an adult book, but erotic literature book.
All right, fucking hell. Buddy, oh my God. 50 Shades of Grey.
That's it. No, you know what I mean. Like, whatever. You know what I mean. He would have one of those, but Edith won't have that because she needs to have the pictures. So I was like, just choose for whatever short story. But 8 books. I was parched by the end of it. And then
the fact that you even give 4 books to them every night. I mean, Toby gets one.
Well, it's enough time to them to go from utterly hysterical and like up here and just like really hyper and just bouncing off the walls. It brings them down to a more acceptable sleep level. But both nights. So first night I had Edith up 1:30 in my bed for a bit. Then she was coughing like an absolute cunt. So I was like, get out, go back to your bed. And then last night, Oliver was in my bed from 3 o'clock. Mate, he moves so much. I don't mind Edith. If she wasn't coughing, she's really still. But he moves so much. And I've got that big penis pillow. The penis pillow. Put that between us. Didn't make any difference because he's actually gyrating on the bed. What are you doing? You know, like, I don't understand how someone can make that much noise or like that many movements just falling asleep. But it's
my kids
hour,
are real fidgeters, but now I'm a real fidgeter,
mate. And then by that point, you're like, shall I just get up for the day?
It's so depressing. So fucking depressing.
We then all slept till 7, so it wasn't so bad. But I'm so sick of it. I just hate the sleep shit. I'm so bored of even talking about it. Like,
but I also think it's because sleep is such a big part of everybody's life, and it's literally something we need for survival.
Yeah.
And I think that kids are really good at kicking the minge out of surviving it. You know,
I know.
Actually put you onto the. And I'm obviously in a different atmosphere. My kids sleep through. Elliot is 13. He is very self-sufficient now. The intensity of bedtimes and everything is just not up there. He goes to bed at a different time. He sorts himself out. We still have to put him to bed, which is put on his nightlight, you know, like the stargazing type thing, and then watch him walk up the steps into his bed. You know, and you're like,
Do I need to do this?
I said to Steve, I went, I'll be fucked to every single cunt out there that says to me, you'll look back at this and miss it. Fuck off.
No, I won't.
Kiss my dick.
I will never miss it. Not that.
I'm out of it.
A lot of the other stuff
You'll miss moments of it. So on Sunday, we went to a beach that was 40 minutes away. We had so much fun. Elliot didn't want to come because he's a teenager, so he thinks everything we do is shit. So the three of us went, we ran in and out of the water. So as the waves, like the water went out and then we'd run back in. We all got soaked because we were shit at it. We had such a lovely time. Yeah. That is a moment in time where it was nice. That is it.
And you can bank that. That's a nice little memory. Banked.
And if I ever look back at that and I think that that's what parenting was, then I'm deluded and I need to be sent to a psychiatric unit. That's basically how I see it. Because for the most part, it's not that. And you skip around the bits where they're pissing and moaning that they're hungry, or like the fact that Toby pushed me into the water when I was trying to get away from the water, so I got even wetter. Like, it's that. It's those moments where I was just like, and then he kept slapping me on the ass, and once he slapped me on the back and it really hurt. You know, it's those less than perfect moments where you're like, I don't want to fucking
do this. This is shit.
I would much rather come here on my own, sit on the beach and not even have to entertain an 8-year-old by running in and out of the water. I had a great time, but also, you know.
Yeah, it's hard work. It's just hard work. And that is the definition of parenthood. Fucking hard work.
And don't get me wrong. We both said we wouldn't change it for a fucking second. We said it last week or the week before. We wouldn't change it. For a second, I love being a mum, but in equal measure, I actually fucking hate
being a mum. I know,
because you have to completely annihilate all of your own needs.
Yeah, in amongst
like the whole ethos of gentle parenting is like very strong boundaries, taking care of yourself, gentle parenting yourself, or gentle parenting the other child, because you can't gentle parent if you don't gentle parent yourself. Well, fuck me, mate. That's pretty fucking difficult when your child is literally hanging off of your tit and giving it absolute stacks because you won't carry them to the fucking pub.
I think
and
for
it's,
me,
oh, yeah, I'll gentle parent myself. I'll gentle parent.
Oh, God. I find the gentle parent stuff the most challenging when they are literally physically really hurting each other. Like I told you yesterday when Oliver grabbed Edith's cheeks and just squeezed them so hard because she was being such a massive gun to him. It's in those moments that I'm like, okay. I mean, obviously I take them apart, but then I'm a bit like, I don't really know what I'm supposed to do now. Like, because it's just hard to know what to do, isn't it? When they're really going at each other, or they're constantly like verbally winding each other up, like the verbal winding each other up. I find that drives me insane. Cause you know, you're like, just shut up, just leave each other alone. I don't tell them to shut up, all right, before anyone gets on me. But that's what I want to say.
Even if you did, can we normalize the fact that parents do that and their children don't grow up to be fucking psychopaths?
I say just be quiet, just stop talking to each other. Why are you talking to each other? You're clearly not having a good time. Just take
but I find it so interesting, like, how we have to be really careful about the fact, don't say shut up. And it's like, but what if on that one day in May in 2021 when I'd absolutely at my fucking wit's end and I screamed shut up, I'm pretty sure social services isn't going to fucking come around my house for that one. We've got to normalise the fact that we're parents that are out
all right, Nora, I screamed shut up, you fucking cunt, in her face.
I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to just the overall society. I constantly refer back to my parenting style and think, you know what? I am not a heroin addict that is using my child as a drug mule across county lines. And that normalises and dissipates my need to be a better mum sometimes.
Yeah, definitely.
And also, statistically speaking, do you know, psychological fact, that to have a well-formed, healthy, boundaried attachment to your child, you only need to get it right 30% of the time.
30%, that's fucking brilliant. I thought it was 60. Oh, nope. But 30 feels much more achievable. I'm smashing that.
The amount of times when I just think,
That's all right then, isn't it?
I go, this is part of my 30, this is not part of my 30%.
No, but it's fine. And I think the other thing that I spoke to Anna Martha, who's a psychologist, and she does a lot of stuff around motherhood, and she's great. She said about the most important thing out of all of this is the repair. So long as you're apologising and saying, like, you know, I was feeling really frustrated and I'm really sorry and I didn't mean to and blah, 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 but this is how I felt. And, like, not pinning the blame on them, because, you know, it's so easy to be like, you're being really irritating. That's what
the reason why I did that is because you didn't listen. It's like, don't do that. Just be like, yeah, I'm in a bad mood. I say to the kids sometimes, I'm in such a bad mood today.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I shouted at you.
Yeah.
I'm just in a bad mood. And actually, I just fucking hate you.
If you were like just less annoying, then I wouldn't shout.
Basically, what I try and sit down and explain to them is, look, if you were a friend, I would have stopped speaking to you by now.
Exactly.
But you're not. So I'm stuck with you. So sometimes I'm going to shout. The reality is, I don't really like spending a lot of time with you at the moment.
Oh my God. It's just, it's a lot. So I cannot wait for Rob to come home. We did go on our little date, didn't we? We had a little day date.
How was it?
At the weekend. It was very nice. It was very nice. Rob's changed his hair again.
Hey.
Do you know he just changes his hair all the time? I'm sure he talks about this. He's got as many hairstyles as he has hats.
That's saying a lot.
It's many.
Rob has a lot of hats.
But for some reason, he always leans towards quite an indie hairstyle that's like, quite long fringe, longer fringe, massive side, but it's not for me. And I think it ages him. But then, because it got too long,
it's a bit indie looking, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not. Yeah. But he keeps
like a very short fringe and then this bit down here kind of vibe. I'm not saying that's him, but it's that vibe.
Like fucking ham steaks either side of his ears. Yeah, not for me. But he kept like sweeping his hair back, and one of his other hairstyles is a quiff. And I was like, oh my God. I need to tell you that your hair like that, I would just want to sit on your face, mate. He looks so handsome with his hair off his face a little bit.
You sound like a mum. You look so handsome.
I know. I was like, you look so handsome, Rob. I really fancy you. But he was getting his hair cut anyway. So he was like, okay, I might do a quiff for a bit then, because I've not done it for a while. So he come home with these little new hairstyles. I was like, oh my God, I love you so much. You're shocking looking. But isn't it mad how like just the direction of a fringe can actually change a whole face? So anyway, he was looking dapper, and we had such a nice time. Went out for a really nice food. Went to Spitalfields Markets in London, which I love. Have you been there on a weekend before? Spitalfields.
No.
You'd love it. It's all like market stalls and really lovely food, loads of different food stalls under a thing that's like Victorian architecture. And it's great.
I love it. Mate.
And so many nice shops. They've got a Le Collective, you know, the vintage style.
Yes.
Yeah. Nobody's Child there. Oh, just loads of really nice shops. So We went and had food, and then we went shopping.
Oh my God, how glorious.
And it was just so nice to just go into like clothes shops and look at clothes and not have to deal with children sort of terrorizing.
Just not dealing with children. Yeah. That's what it is.
Right. We had such a nice time. We had, we just really enjoyed ourselves.
All and lovely felt moments.
Totally bonded and just, yeah, like, oh yeah, we do still really get on and we have so much in common and we have a laugh and it was lovely. It was so lovely. But yeah, unfortunately, no boning. So that was
Maybe the quiff will enable a bone.
Yeah. Well, for me, yeah, but. You know,
maybe like, you need to watch One Day again. I'm still not over that.
Absolutely.
And also the fact that I can't fucking believe it. Spoiler alert, don't listen to this bit if you haven't seen This Is Gonna Hurt and you want to watch it. She fucking dies in that as well.
I didn't get to the end of that series because I got too annoyed about the depiction of birth in it. So I was like, I'm not watching this.
Yeah, she fucking dies in that as well.
Well, does she really?
Yeah, it's really sad. She kills herself.
Oh my God, because she's a, that does happen in the book, actually.
So fucking sad.
I'm
it's just
sure
like,
comes up. Oh, and that's horrible.
It's so fucking sad. It was just like, I can't believe in her two like
she's
main.
She's dead.
She's dead again. Emma. Yeah, it was. I really enjoyed it. I know it was a less than desirable depiction of birth, but it also normalizes the less than complicated version of birth as well, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, the book's amazing. If you haven't read it, definitely. It's
no,
one of the
you know
funniest...
I haven't fucking read it,
it's
mate.
It's one of the funniest
Come
books
on.
I've ever read.
Come on now.
It's great. I laughed so much. And then it's really emotional at the end as well. Shall we have some story?
I've got one.
Have you? I've sent another fucking email from school getting so many at the moment. It's bloody World Book Day tomorrow, isn't it?
No, mate, don't even talk to me about it because I only established yesterday that I needed to not only make a costume, a fucking cake. There is a cake competition at our school. So he's got to dress up as something. And he went, I want to go as Wonka. And I was like, okay.
Oh, mate, that's not even
I'm
going
to have to try and source
bag.
A fucking costume because I can't get one in time.
Yeah, that's
difficult. And I want to make a cake that looks like the Wonka chocolate bar. You know, and you're like, that's fine, but I'm going to need to reduce your expectations of your mother. Just so you know.
Yeah, I've got an idea. Chocolate cake. Print out a picture of a chocolate bar and just stick it on top.
I am going to buy sponge though. I'm fake baking it. He was like, you're not allowed to do that, mum. You've got to make it. I was like, no one's going to know.
Oh my God. Actually, Toby, lower your expectations here, babe.
Yeah, just be thankful
not
for the fact I feed
Mary
you
Berry,
every day,
yeah?
All right?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not Mary
That's
fucking Berry.
So funny. Yeah, we've got to do World Book Day. Luckily, Oliver's gone in for a really simple one. It's like, I don't know, something about a kid with a dragon. So I was like, well, what does he wear? A green top and some trousers.
Oh,
and he has a dragon on his shoulder. So we've got a dragon toy. I'm just going to fucking staple that to his bare flesh.
Well, I think basically what I'm going to do is I'm going to make, he says, and he said this morning, to get dressed, I want the stick as well. It's like, I can't send you in with a fucking stick because you're probably twat a quid kid around the
yeah,
over
exactly.
So I'm going to go to the range and get some card and just go to absolute town with some card and just see what I can fucking pull together. He's
Make
no doubt going to look like fucking E.T.
waistcoat.
When they try and disguise him. That's probably what's going to happen.
I can't wait. You need to share a picture of that. That's hilarious.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Yeah. Right, so you can do story.
Yeah, okay, I can do mine. She says, please keep Anne on. I was invited to a trip to Aviemore? Must be Wales. It sounds like a Wales place.
A
place where whales are. Wales. I was invited on a bus trip to Aviemore with my boyfriend and his family. This was the first time I'd spent any time with his family other than a quick hello in passing. I do what I can to avoid social situations. This is such a good story. I often have waves of social anxiety, which makes me feel and act like a total moron. I mean, hello.
Yeah.
That's me all
You're
over.
You're in good company. Yeah.
You really are. So we were on this coach. It was a very long drive. The company was awkward. The family were loving their life, playing really shit travel games. And I just couldn't get the hang of them. It was all starting to kick off my social anxiety and I really needed a shit. I went to the coach loos, but there was a big sign saying that the toilet was not to be used for number twos. I was pretty desperate and I didn't know the implications of shitting on a toilet. So I climbed up on the counter next to the sink and shat in the bin. I put some paper towels over the top of it and returned back to the potential in-laws. The coach stopped after 40 minutes at a service station for a break. We all got off for a cuppa and a stretch of legs. Feeling pretty awkward, we returned to the coach. My boyfriend told me to cheer up and be a bit more talkative to his family. Otherwise, I'd ruin the holiday for everyone.
Oh, God.
I know, what a dick. I promised I'd try. Once we were back on the coach, the driver's mate took to the tannoy. He announced that our departure was going to be delayed because a passenger had defecated in the toilet bin and the driver had got covered in shit while emptying it and had to shower and find a clean change of clothes. The passengers were outraged and I wanted to die. I think it was pretty obvious who had done it because of my face. But maybe, just maybe, my baseline sheer awkwardness, social anxiety saved the day on this occasion. Nonetheless, the holiday was indeed fucked. Imagine that poor bus driver walking in, I've got empty the bin, cost smells a bit dodgy in it.
Mate, it would absolutely stink because it would just be a raw turd out, like in and the open.
Tissue paper doesn't disguise the smell of a hot turd.
No, absolutely not. I mean, what is he doing though to empty the bin? Because surely the bin would have like a plastic bag in it and the poo was in there.
Yeah, maybe the bag broke. Maybe as he lifted it up, lifting it up, you're going to do it with some velocity, aren't you? And maybe he just got coated in it. And also she said it was anxious, so it's probably runny.
Those bags that are for those bins, they're not very well made, are they? They're not structurally sort of sound to contain the humans. I just got the image of her squatting over the bin to do it.
No, I think that's brilliant.
Did she put the bin on the counter and then did it up
no,
there?
No, so I imagine it to be like a train, you know, where like it's
they're
the
so
sink
small,
and then the bin.
Those flipping toilets as well. There's not a lot of room to manoeuvre.
Yeah, it's very reminiscent of my Rome trip where I spewed on that lady's head, tried to get to the toilet, and the toilet was out because too many people had shit in it.
That, you know, if this is happening frequently, that these toilets aren't able to hold turds, then there needs to be a bit of a rethink in the way that they're engineered.
More, aerodynamic to the turd.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And several of them. I mean, I must admit, I'm trying to think if I've ever taken a shit on a coach. I do remember having a... So I used to get coaches quite a lot when I was in my very poor student days.
Oh, yeah.
And I've often had long distance boyfriends as well. So, yeah, I used to have to go up to Nottingham all the time to see my ex-boyfriend. That I'd get a coach because it was about £7.
Did you have a shit?
Oh, yeah, mate. I'd have a shit on there. But also I would often do that journey horrifically hungover.
Oh, God.
And just a coach journey hungover.
Yeah.
Needing to do a shit, I definitely would have shat on those ones because it's like, you know, you got to go and you got to go. It's the alcohol. Just
I think that's the thing. Like me in my early 20s, I would have been riddled with the anxiety of shitting somewhere. But ultimately, I think I probably would have done what she had done. I would have shit in the bin because I would have been too scared to shit in the toilet.
The thing is, I do
it's
think
the aim,
sometimes
it's the dexterity, it's the passion, there's so much in it. There's
but
so
you
much
have
to
go.
Said.
Like if you get that, if sometimes you just have to go. There's no control in it.
And it's when you get the lull where you're like, no, I've got complete control of this. I'm not going to shit myself. And then all of a sudden the lull passes and then the cramps kick in and you're like, it's happening.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. And it's, you know, when your bum hole, it's literally like one small air vape away from starting to come out. And you know that... There's only so much that your actual sphincter can do to hold it in.
Before
it's
just
the worst feeling
opens
ever.
Up like the gates
you know
of Hades.
What? I had an incident with one of my best mates. The three of us had gone out and on the way home, one of them, she was sat in the back of the car. Just, I don't feel very well. I've got to read that. I really don't feel very good. I'm going to poo. She was holding on for her dear life. And I can tell you now, when she got out of the car And the way that she waddled to the house, she didn't shit, but I'm going to say that she was so close to touching cloth that me and our other best friend sat in the front of the car. I couldn't even drive away because just the sheer image of her waddling was so hysterically funny. We couldn't move. And and she was like, I can't get in the house. I nearly said her husband's name then. He won't open the door because he's gone to bed. And she was just like, hurry up. And then she messaged, she was like, girls, that was close.
So my one of the mums around the corner, she was having a chat with her the other day, just talking about like where we live, and it's pretty hairy, let's put it that way. You see some scenes around these parts. Yeah. But she said the other day, she was like in her daughter's bedroom looking out the window, and she saw this woman. And this is just like a suburban street, you know, it's not like it's a main high street or anything like that. It's quiet, all the rest of it. This woman's walking down the road. She's like, God, she's walking really weird. What's she doing? And she was walking so strange. And then she put her hand down her trousers.
No, please, no.
Pulled it out. And it obviously there was shit on it. So then she was wiping up all of her hand.
Does that make it better, wiping it on the other hand? Get a leaf. Rub it on a tree trunk.
She had tissues, so she got the tissues. And then she was like, she basically wiped her ass in the street and pulled out like a turd, wrapped it all up and just shoved it under a Mercedes. And then this guy...
I want cars to shove it under.
Okay, I know exactly. And then this guy who was either in a car, sat in the car across the road or something, he was like, what are you doing? She's there just like bowling her wrapped up shit under the car.
Trying to hit the Mercedes badge.
And then she ran away. It was like, what the hell is happening?
I've been in some really bad places, but I've never walked. And also, like, if I've been in that much of a shit place, literally, it's coming out of me like liquid. But I've never been able to shit and walk a log.
Not
walk.
Not at the same time.
No way. Like, I'm pretty sure your brain doesn't function that way.
No, I do remember shit my pants once. I can't remember why it was. I think I probably had like a stomach bug, and it was the tail end of it, and it was still, so it wasn't complete liquid shit, but it was like still just a bit dodgy.
A bit bitty.
I do remember that it distinctly felt like a Mr. Whippy machine filling up my knickers.
Oh, God, yeah.
Because it was, and there was no control. It was just like... I like ballooned up my bum, and then I took those off and was like, I've just got a pair of shit knickers on now. So I've got to sort this out. Oh, it's such a horrible feeling. Such a horrible feeling.
But that's quite a thing. Like, even to have, like, I've got jeans on today. If I were to shit, I wouldn't be able to get my hand down and pull that log out without leaving a full blown brown snail trail up my back.
Yeah. Maybe she had elasticated waist. She's like me. She loves a loose trouser.
You're wearing elasticated waist today, though.
No, I know. I've put on like actual jeans and everything.
I know. I clocked them. Very nice.
This will make you laugh. These jeans are men's jeans, and they're actually the same style that Rob wears.
Why are you wearing men's jeans?
Because I cannot find any women's jeans that fit my shape.
Okay, yeah. And because you're quite straight up and down, aren't
you? Very straight up and down. I am, yeah. I'm like a man with a pair of tits, that's it. So I was doing the washing and I was like looking at Rob's jeans. I was like, oh, these look like a really nice shape, actually. I'm going to try them on. So I tried on these jeans and they were too big for me because they were too big at the waist. But generally, I could see the shape and the arse and everything. I was like, those are really nice.
They do look very nice on you.
Because they're a straight leg. So they're not skinny jeans because I'm just so fed up of wearing skinny jeans. But it's sort of, I can't do the mum jean either because they just look horrendous on me.
Look horrendous on me, and I have got shape. Like, I don't really feel like I can pull them off either.
And I can't do high waist either. It's no good for me because...
I love a high waist.
Yeah, but you've got the like dent of the waist to be able to pull it off. I don't. It just,
no, you're a ruler.
It looks terrible. Yeah, I'm a ruler. So these sit in the perfect place for me because they are a little bit high up. But they don't like, they just sit in the right place. And so it makes me look really in proportion and they're really comfortable. So I'm a convert. I wear these now.
Full blown man convert.
Me and Rob wearing matching jeans.
Isn't that part of like middle age and old age?
Absolutely.
Like, oh my God, you start wearing matching. That's
We're
going to so
morph
adorable.
Into each other. Yeah. Yeah. Will, but that's the thing, they look so different on me than they do on him. They look like a completely different style. We can get away with it.
Brilliant. I wouldn't have looked at them and gone, oh my God, they're men's jeans. Although, at 40, I'd like to think that's not a thing that we would even contemplate. And if it is, I don't want to hang around with that person.
No.
because they're a cunt. Always leads back to they're a cunt.
All right, shall I do a story?
Please do, love. Please do.
Yes, okay. So this is vaginismus.
Oh, vaginismus. Yeah, hello.
So, meet my friend, vaginismus. So it's just a little an update on it, a little, what do we call it, tidy up time, as you will. So my pelvic floor therapist told me that a pelvic floor needs to be strong and relaxed, not weak and tight. Oh, wow, so you can have the two things.
No, so the chiropractor that I go and see?
Yeah.
This is something that she said about, and she said that the fact that if you make your pelvic floor really tight, especially from a young age, it can make things like obviously sex and childbirth really, really, really difficult. And it is about, it's more about the strength of it rather than the tightness of it.
Yeah.
Which I didn't know. I thought they were two of the same thing.
Yeah, you would have aligned those two words with but together, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, yeah. But actually, too tight is bad.
Yeah, too tight is bad.
It makes sex painful and stuff.
Oh, so... with Fitbitch, hi, little promo. Uh-huh. We've been filming the some new workouts for it. And
I'm going to start calling you Davina.
The funny thing is that on social media, the person that people always say, you remind me of, is Davina McCall.
Oh, really?
All
no,
the
you
time.
Don't remind, it was just a joke because she's an exercise person, but I don't actually remind you with Davina at all.
The way she looks.
Think.
No? I don't think so. But then I really then was looking at her face the other day and I was like, maybe.
I wouldn't mind looking like Davina.
Because
she's fucking beautiful.
Oh, that's, yeah, see, she's gorgeous, but I would say she's got, there's something quite masculine about her.
You're not mask, other than
no,
the jeans.
But then I was like, oh no, I can see it. I think it's something to do with the nose and the cheekbones. They do actually look,
you do have
similar.
Very high cheekbones, yeah.
Okay, so, but you know, I will be a fitness mogul like her. So we've been doing pelvic floor exercises and it's so hard to get them right. Do you know what I mean? Like, because it's really, it's about making that like mental connection with your body. But you know, that should be like, okay, so now breathe. Imagine that you've got a pair of lungs on your back and I'm like, on your low back, and breathe into those. I'm like,
oh my God, I can't work
the visualization
because like
I'm
too literal.
But then
so
she put...
And then I'm like, I can, and then I envisage like a cartoon pair of lungs, and then it's in a cartoon city. And I'm like, fuck, hang on a minute.
I've gone off base there.
And I missed.
The one where I feel the connection so much is if you're on your back and you do a bridge. So you lift up your, so you're basically like at an angle with your feet on the ground, and you do the action of drawing up your pelvic floor as you go up and then releasing it as you come down. That one is, it's really easy to do it because you can really feel the connection and your pelvic floor kind of just automatically does it anyway from doing that movement.
This is going to make me sound like a complete and utter wanker. So excuse me for a minute because I'm going to sound like that person. But I can honestly say the best thing that I ever did for my pelvic floor was work on my core, because it's by my core being good, it has made me... it's so much easier for me to work on my pelvic floor because I can feel it now.
So that move will engage your core
like,
automatically. So that's why I think it feels easier, because like you said, you turn on your core and it turns on your pelvic floor.
Oh, look at that. Turn on your core,
can
turn
we round
on the
core,
pelvic floor.
And then you're a whore. There you go. Okay. So she
might
also told me that any kind of continued painful, uncomfortable contact will make it worse. For example, painful sex. Our vaginals have muscle memory.
Oh, God, there's a brain down there.
There's a brain down there. So each time we have painful or unpleasant sex, it clamps up even more. The goal is to increase pleasurable touch only and other relaxation methods until we rewire our brains to believe that it's okay to relax the vaginal muscles and allow penetration. Obviously, it takes a very patient and supportive partner to remove penetration off the table for a long period of time. But that's what I've been told by a professional. For that woman who wrote in about vaginismus, maybe this information will help.
Well, that's really helpful.
Yes. So basically...
And it's like PBT, isn't it? Pussy behavioural therapy.
That's exactly what it is,
like you're rewiring the brain of the vag and actually telling your brain, no, it's okay, it's safe, it feels good. It makes perfect sense, though.
It's a neural... it'll be a neural pathway. So you've got to... it's the same with drinking. Anything, any like behaviour that gets associated with something is a neural pathway. So you've got to make a new neural pathway, and eventually that old one, if it isn't being used anymore, it just dies. How incredible is that, though?
So clever. Yeah, it also only highlights even further why therapy is so fucking great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't it though?
Yeah.
Because it just goes to show that if you go down the neural pathway that you've always gone down, it's a roadmap and your brain just automatically knows, oh, it's okay, I know how to get there, and it will automatically take you there, good or bad, it doesn't matter, it doesn't know any different.
Yeah.
But in actual fact, that's not permanent. There's nothing permanent about the way that you think. It's always has the ability to change, and it does change as well. Nothing's permanent.
Absolutely so changes. But and I do notice it.
Badge,
I know, my God, muscle memory and you minge. For the drinking thing, the neural pathway, that is something that now that I'm so far into it, it's nearly a year. It's nearly a year. It's going to be a year in April. Can't believe that. But the association of weekends, having a drink on a Friday and Saturday, I was always like, how am I ever going to get over that? I just did that habit.
I remember
of,
you saying that.
That I just couldn't imagine it being part of my life. And now it's so strange because there's no distinction between a Friday, a Saturday, any day of the week. They're all the same. And I don't ever have any urge on any of those days of like, oh, I need something. I need a drink, whatever it is. I don't have it. It's really odd. But that is now my normal.
Yeah.
And that's proof that that neural pathway does work. Like if you
it
do
does things. Exist.
But I did read that it takes 90 days to form a new one. So you're just going to have lots of non-penetrative, you know, sensual stuff.
Non-penetrative sex for 90 days and a really loving partner that just wants you to enjoy sex and not be a selfish cunt that just wants to get his end away.
Exactly. I'm going to tell you this right now. I can do 90 days no sex quite easily.
Easily.
I think I'm on day 410 right now.
Your neural pathway.
Mate, they are popping up.
Maybe that's why your minge goes so bulbous, because it's like the neural pathway has gone, what is this?
Yeah. You know? I'm used to a plastic device.
But yeah, it's literally like an alien intruder, isn't it?
It is. It is an alien
entering intruder. Into your body, and your body's going, hang on a minute, we are one step away from becoming a nun.
Yeah.
I think nuns probably get it more than the lot of us.
Defo, mate. Defo. Right.
Don't you find it mental how people think that they're above it?
Above what?
Above being a human.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
You know, when you're like, but... like, just be honest. I don't know. It's so far beyond me, but people that just believe that they're above it, above the
like, do you mean like the
natural
basic
desire of
human
like,
desire? Yeah.
Not even desire, just everything across the board. Like those people that will just be like, well, no, I never get jealous, or no, I never get angry.
Yeah.
Well, no, you know, you're like, fuck off. You weren't born with something different, you dickhead.
Maybe, because the thing that springs to mind, though, is
they
like,
need therapy.
Well, they need therapy, but maybe in like the Buddhist sort of philosophy, maybe again, when we're talking about those neural pathways, you're training yourself to have a different reaction to those things.
Yes.
So,
yeah, I
guess
with
them, that's the whole life's purpose, isn't it? To
about this fucking controversy around Jay Shetty. You know, like, oh, Jesus Christ, can you trust any cunt now?
No, you can't. I know.
He did a degree in being a great fucking person and humanology and something. He did a fucking degree in business studies. And it's like,
well, there you go.
Jesus.
He's used that well because he's created a massive business off
that's
the back
the whole,
of it. So.
Yeah. And then that other bloke that does the biggest VIP, what's that fucking podcast that's gone mental? That Steve guy.
CEO, yeah, he's
him.
A twat. Yeah.
He's a twat. Like, he's a secret cunt. You know, Jesus Christ. I tell you what, if you can't trust him, you can't trust a priest.
No. Well, I think that's been well established historically.
Yeah, yeah. Historically, we know that they're not great people. I'm sure some of them are. We don't want to stereotype, but
there's no sweeping generalisation. They've got a bad rep.
You know what? Before we go anywhere, because I'm fully aware of the fact that times are ticking, I want to talk about my passport, Vic.
Oh yeah, I know. You're very happy about this, aren't you?
I'm over the fucking moon. I'm not gonna lie. I need to share it. So 10 years ago, I had my passport renewal come up. Went and got my passport picture. They said the picture that I had taken, your fringe is too long, and
oh my, you're so picky.
It will get declined.
Right.
So I went from the post office to the hairdressers. I said, can you just cut my fringe a little bit? No problem at all. Went down to Timpson. This is a whole fucking ordeal.
Yeah.
Went to Timpson's. He went to take my picture and he went, no, your fringe is still too long. You're going to have to get that cut. I go back to the hairdresser and I go, look, I know it's taking a piss a little bit. Can you take a little bit more off? Takes a little bit more off. I go back to Timpson's. He goes, I don't think you're going to pass that picture. I still think it's too long.
Oh my God.
I go back to the hairdresser and I went, just fucking hack at the cunt. I walk back in. Now, considering the fact that I had annihilated my fringe, it was closer to my forehead than it was my fucking eyebrows at this point. And he went, yeah, I don't think you're going to be able to get away with that. You best sweep it to one side. I did my absolute best to sweep it to one side. I looked like something of a crime watch fucking lineup. It was awful. That was my passport for 10 years. And I thought, not this time, motherfucker, not this time.
I'm going hard on the sex
appeal. I took the first set of pictures, which I sent to you. And I mean, they weren't great. Immediately I was like, I can't fucking use those. Like that. I thought I looked all right today on reflection.
Yeah.
I looked like a haggard old cunt. So I then disappear up into my bedroom. I spend 25 minutes doing my hair and makeup and I looked fucking brilliant. I stood there. I took the picture. I took Steve's picture. I got into the bath, uploaded my picture and it says poor. And I was like, why is it poor? Reasons why. Too much facial hair. I thought, are you having a fucking laugh? I then get out of the bath again. I've now not got a bra on, no bottoms on. I've literally just got my polo neck on, minge out, go downstairs. And I said to Steve, I was like, no jokes, because I'm not in the fucking mood. I need you to take another picture. All the while, he's snapping pictures of my fucking pubic hair because he thinks it's hilarious. And I'm like, I'm actually going to rip your eyeballs out in a minute. I take another set of pictures. I get back into the bath and again, it says too much facial hair.
Is it your now, fringe then, that? That's what they mean. There's too much hair on your face.
Yeah, at the side of my face. And I thought, I'm going to do Steve's because I'm telling you now, for those of you who might not know, listeners, Steve has a massive beard.
Yeah.
Fucking huge beard. I did his, the first and only picture I took of his and it
accepted.
Went through.
Oh, for
accepted,
God's sake.
Not a problem. So I went back and did my passport application and I thought, you know what, fight the power. I'm absolutely taking, I'm keeping this, what I would call exceptionally nice picture of me and I'm making them keep it. And it said poor, which means the likelihood is you're not going to have it accepted. And they said, give us your reasons to why you think we should accept this. And I went to fucking town. I gave every single moment within an inch of its fucking life as to why there was nothing wrong with that picture. And I don't have any fucking facial hair. And my passport has come through today. And lo and behold, there she is.
Looking
beautiful.
Like a hot
looking
bitch.
Like a fucking model.
Oh, that's so funny.
Because of the trauma.
Deal, though?
Trauma
Jesus.
Of a passport picture. You're like, fuck off. Why is he not being flagged for fucking facial hair?
I know that it's also weird because I've got fringe too, and I've had a fringe when I did mine, and I don't remember them saying that. Although I did do
I'm
mine
sure
quite
the guy
a long time.
Simpsons just hated me.
It was doing Edith's one like 2 years ago, and she was prime cunt. That was her feral age, and it was a nightmare, absolute
Toby's
nightmare.
Toby's was a year ago.
But she looks like such a cow in it. She's like giving me absolute evils. It's hilarious, but they accepted that.
Yeah, same as Toby. Toby looks like a thug, actually. He looks like a kid that is dragged up by the crack den family. That's what he looks like. He doesn't look like a child that's got a passport picture that's going to go on lovely holidays, you know? No. He looked rough as fuck in his picture for the same reason. I was like, oh, Toby, again, you know, this picture, it's got too much of a shadow, so I need to use the flash on my phone. And he was like, I don't want to do it again. You know, he's like, please just do it because I want to go on holiday.
I want to go on holiday so bad. They don't get the concept, do they? Like,
no,
you've got
they
to
don't.
Do this. Else
they
you're
fucking
going
don't. Fucking
but I'm absolutely busting for a piss, mate. So should we round up? This is
Let's round
about
this bitch
to
up.
Be a very soggy pair of pants.
At least it won't be poo.
It won't be poo, but it
hey,
will
just
be.
Just get the bin.
Grab the bin. I've got a wicker basket bin, so that won't go well.
Oh,
right,
God.
So if you want to send us any stories, any other business, you know the score. You can email us at noholesbarredpodcast@gmail.com. Or what else can they do, Laura?
They can head on over to our Instagram page at noholesbarredpodcast and slide on into our DMs.
Don't forget, we got the sex toys. We got merch.
We forget about
that.
This, don't we? We just disappear. It disappears into the oblivion. And also, maybe leave us a review.
Oh, yeah.
You can, I don't know that we ever bother asking review. For that. That would be nice, wouldn't it?
I don't
really
do anymore. Yeah, they can do that. Listen,
yeah, do a review.
Do a review, buy some sex toys, get some no holds barred merch. Make us happy, ladies. Yeah. And we will see you all next week, Slags.
Bye!
Hi, my name is Kay Adams, and to be honest, I'm not so good with the aging process, so I enlisted my old chum, the filter-free Cara McKenzie, to advise.
Could you imagine being a porn star? The room would need to be really hot for me to strip off.
To be honest, she's not much help, but she is rather amusing. And along with some great guests, Joe Brand, Andy Oliver, Anton Dubek, Ruth Langsford, and Craig Revel Horwood, darling, we are learning how to be 60. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.